Hello, it's Wednesday night. Welcome to your home group. My name is Greg Stevens, and you are watching Victory, Living in Victory, and we are live tonight coming to you from Fort Worth. I want to thank you for joining us. I really believe that tonight is going to bless you more than you even realize. Before I begin, I want to introduce the people that are with us, and then we're going to make a little switch here in a minute, so stay with us. Let me tell you about what home group is. Home group is like you walked into a Bible study in our home, okay? You're part of it. And last week, we talked about honor, and it's one of the subjects that you had requested. So you are part of this program. I have an iPad right here in front of me. And so those of you watching us on Facebook, welcome. You can please tell somebody, share it, and then type in your question or comment right there on Facebook. It'll come directly to me. If you want to talk to us otherwise and be part of the program, ask homegroup@govictory.com is how you would email a question or a comment in. Or you can phone, use the phone, 682-302-1301. I'll say it again. If you want to text in a question or a comment, it's 682 in the United States, 682-302-1301. All right. We want you to be part of this program, part of this panel. Your thoughts and your questions are greatly desired. Okay. Joining me tonight, my wife, Michelle. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hello,
everyone. And then I also, we brought back Captain Thomas Amos, United States Navy. Air Force, right on. So he came back with us. He's also our resident meteorologist.
Yep.
It's getting hot outside.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So I want you to be part of this, but the reason I ask him back is because last week we were talking about honor, and there was something on the program as I read through all of the emails and the calls mm-hmm. and the things that came in. A lot of people wanted to hear more from you because you started out as an enlisted man, mm-hmm. became an officer, captain. Captain's a pretty big deal in the Navy.
Yes, it was.
It's not the same as an Air Force captain.
No, it's not.
Air Force captain is here. Navy captain is here. And so you have a lot of knowledge about working with all different age groups, economic backgrounds, and all of those things. I heard a couple of things, whether it was said or implied, that this generation, meaning our kids' age,
sure,
know nothing about honor. And a large reason we don't have a move of God is because they don't know anything about honoring God and honoring those that have gone before them, and they don't want that. They don't even really desire a move of God. So I want to give you a few minutes to talk about your background in this subject, and then I've got a surprise for you. In a minute, we're going to bring in that generation, and I think you're going to be surprised. Captain, take your time here.
Okay, so as we were talking last week and thinking about it today on honor, I don't know if the statement is completely true that this current generation doesn't want honor. Because we instill that and trained our boys and, exactly. and my daughter in honor as they were growing up. We had Bible study daily. I mean, that was part of our routine. And I saw it also in people that were in the military with me, young kids coming in. They really want to have that guidance. I don't think it's so much shunning it and saying, that's not for me. They just don't know how to do it. I think it might be a more accurate way of saying it. So what I found in my commands that I had, and I commanded four times while I was in the Navy, it became a thing of training. You had to train up the next generation on how to honor a person.
Okay, how do I do it? Tell me how to do it.
Well, one of the most important things was to listen and obey the words and instructions that you were given by a superior officer, and not what they call blowing them off, like so many kids, even adults, do today. I mean, they just disregard what a senior, maybe a senior pastor or a senior officer, is telling them to do, and say, "Well, I'm going to do it my own way." Well, good luck with that, because your result may be very poor.
So, in other words, they're watching me, and they see me not do what I'm asking them to do.
Exactly. And that was one of the things I taught my junior officers and my senior enlisted in my command. The junior people that are in this command are watching you like hawks to see if you're going to fulfill the commanding officer or the carrier group commander's orders to the letter. And if you are wavering and doing your own thing, well, what's the point of me?
Okay, so how would they, I know from my Air Force experience at all, and from pastoral experience, right. How would they see me not, okay, I'm carrying out the order. I have an order to go X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. I carry out the order, but how would I be not honoring that commanding officer and still doing it? Because Jesus talked about this. I carry out what he asked me to do, but I didn't do it.
Well, you can do it and be talking behind that commanding officer's back the entire time. I don't want to do this.
Listen, I don't know
why he's making me do that.
Yeah, guys, we have to do this because this is our orders we got. I don't agree with it, but we're going to do it. That is
a dishonor to that command. That is a dishonor to that uniform to do that.
But you're dishonoring yourself, too, in their eyes.
Yes, ultimately, you are dishonoring yourself.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
So one of the things, I was just looking back at some of the things that I had used when I was a commanding officer. And one of the things that I taught and instilled in my people are some of the rules that actually came from the SEAL teams. And one of those rules is we demand discipline. We expect innovation. The lives of my teammates, my sailors, and the success of our mission depend on me, my technical skill, tactical proficiency, and attention to detail. My training is never complete. So you're in a process of training and learning.
My training is never complete.
Absolutely. And that's a thing that I've tried to apply. I'm more successful in some days than others, just like anybody, on applying things that I learn over time and adding that to what I've learned on honor in the past, discipline in the past, and those kind of things. So it's the cycle never stops. Even as I'm 62 years old now, I still train to this day. It's just both physically and in my profession.
So good. Even spiritually, though.
And spiritually.
Right? Spiritually, we're still learning.
We're still training.
So we're not going to completely arrive.
Exactly.
So it's keeping that mindset, keeping our heart stayed on that. I do have a question. Do you mind?
Yeah, go.
Is there a separation between honoring the office and honoring the person?
We kind of hit on this last week, and you have to, one, honor the position. But you still have to honor the person, because if you dishonor that person just, you know, talking behind their back, then what point of, you've lost your honor there and your ability to have respect for that individual. Some people, well, I won't get into the
right
nitty-gritties of it, but I think that answers it.
Yeah. You know, we hear that a lot, like we don't agree necessarily with our leadership or we don't have the same thought process, but we honor the office.
Exactly.
Right. And so, but honoring that, so what you're saying is we don't talk against it.
Exactly.
Right. So
exactly.
We keep ourselves in unity by not talking or speaking against it, which is a spiritual principle in itself.
Yes.
How we align our words
so
in the body of Christ.
How much of the military in this area lines up with the scripture?
Well, I think a lot of things that we teach come from John Paul Jones' days, and he was very much a Christian, and he was the one that actually took away flogging our sailors because that was a standard practice in the British Navy for discipline. You would flog the sailors for, you know, whatever transaction,
a flog is like,
and that was whipping.
Whipping.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so he got rid of that, and he was the one that established grooming of the officers and the enlisted. This is how you will report on different things. So what he based his ethos, if you want to use that word, on was really things from the Word of God, and a lot of it was honor.
Interesting. We want you to be part of this still, 682-302-1301. If you want to text in a question, 682-302-1301. Ask homegroup at govictory.com. And if you're on Facebook, I have the iPad right here in front of me. All you have to do is type in your question or comment. We want you to be part of tonight's discussion. Okay, I had a young person, well, more than one. I've had more than one young person, my kid's age, tell me it was their responsibility to correct my generation and correct our wrongs, to call us out on that. Did you ever experience anything like that in the Navy or in your adult life?
I never had anybody in the military call me out on anything, no. And I would not, when I was growing up and when I was a 20 or 30-year-old, I would never have thought to do that to my elders, because when I was growing up, my mother, she was raised in Nazi Germany, and I would have gotten a backhand across the face if I would have done something like that. So, I was honored my parents. Now, to answer in civilian life, I don't think I've ever been corrected by anybody that's younger than me, to tell you the truth.
We had when I was in training in the military, one of the things that I was trained was the first time, if you have to pull rank, is what we called it, you know, I am your whatever.
Superior officer.
Yeah, and you had to pull rank, you've already lost it.
You have lost your authority.
Explain what that means. And how does it relate to a parent?
Okay, so if you have to pull your rank, that means you've lost the respect that was given to you in that rank. Your authority and your respect are kind of parallel. And if you lose that respect in your chain of command, that you have to actually pull rank, then you really are ineffective as a leader. You've lost that role as the leader of that unit. And in many cases now, you actually get pulled from the chain of command. And
okay, so let me bounce off that, and then we have a direct question that came in for you here. Without giving away anything, I'm sure you had to work for a weaker, higher level officer that was your, I don't know if you were ever the XO or whatever, the CO was the much weaker than you, but how did you not overshadow them yet instill respect with the younger people?
Well, as an XO, and I had a couple of CEOs.
XO is a...
Yeah, he's the second in command. Yeah. So I did run into that on a couple of occasions where I actually had more skill than my senior. But in that case, I actually turned into a mentor for the CEO, because they didn't know some of the things that I knew. So I kind of instructed them, said, this is the way it really should
not
be done.
Not in front of people.
Not in front of people. Yep. It was one-on-one. And never do that kind of instructing in front of junior people.
Right.
Okay. Captain Amos, here we go. We got these coming in. This is from Denise. Denise, here's your question. How are you able to innovate and still honor your superiors? How do you innovate?
Well, in my profession as a meteorologist and oceanographer, there's always changes coming into the science, and you're always researching, trying to find better ways of doing a mission, maybe forecasting some kind of parameter. So once you adopt some kind of innovation, whether it's new technology, you go to your seniors and say, you know, you can just lay it out before them. If we do this process, it will improve the way we deliver warfighting information. It'll be faster.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it that way. Thank you for your recommendation. We're going to continue to do it this way.
Aye, sir.
Aye, aye, sir. Okay. All right. Ashley, here we go. This is your question. One last one here, Captain, if you don't mind. How about a parent that has lost the right to be honored? Example, they've abused their child so badly. The Bible says to honor your parents, but I wasn't sure about this situation. And apparently she's a teacher. I don't want to lead somebody who comes to me in the wrong way.
Wow.
First of all, if you're a teacher and a child comes to you, that you have a fiduciary responsibility. Yes. in another level than that. But go ahead.
Boy, I've never run into that kind of situation, so I may not be the right person to be answering that question. So I'm going to have to beg off on that one.
Okay, all right. So the way I would answer it in this is, if as a pastor, I have somebody comes to me and, example, I've not had this happen. I was raped by so-and-so at church. Now, okay, hold right there. We have another responsibility. I have a legal responsibility.
Legal responsibility there. Yeah.
Child, that's a whole different world. We have a thing that we go with our family. We don't live behind walls, but we do have boundaries. And so I know that we're going to argue about which is the best football team in America, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys or the Denver Broncos.
Oh,
and so we will have boundaries. We will have boundaries. We're not going to discuss that at the table and all. And so, and that way, like even with my parents, we honor them that way that, you know, Dad, I honor you and I respect you, but we disagree in this area. And so we're going to agree to not go there.
That's right. Yeah.
With each other. Captain, any last thing you want to share concerning this?
One thing I do see happening in the church is people coming into the sanctuary, that type of thing, and there may be prayer going on.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, one of the pastors or just somebody praying from the podium or from the front of the church. It used to be that you would stop and honor that person praying. I don't see that happening so much in these days. Mm. So that's one way of just honoring not only the pastor, but also the father, who that prayer is going
to. We were talking before we went live today that we can always spot, for the most part, somebody that was military. And we just look at them and we can spot it. I know somebody said something to me about it the other day. We were in a meeting with everybody in one room, spaced out, everybody in one room. And Pastor George came in and Pastor Terry came in. They came in separately. On both occasions, I immediately stood up.
I still have
that from my military days that I walk into a man's office. I do not set things on their desk and I wait till they say,
Have a seat.
Yeah, exactly. And all that. Sir, I'll give you an elbow thing there. Thank you so much for the insight that you have brought. Now, listen, we're stepping away just a second. Do not leave, because what's about to happen here Sunday is going to be absolutely amazing. And then I'm going to bring in this younger generation for your questions and comments, and I believe you're going to be surprised. Watch this coming up. What's happening right here at Eagle Mountain Church this Sunday. Here we go.
Join us for a special EMIC service experience here on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We invite you to gather with us live and in person from right inside your own vehicle this Sunday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. Central with Pastor George Pearsons and Kenneth Copeland.
These times that we're in, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We stand strong with each other, and we'll see ourselves through this in the name of Jesus.
You can also watch this special live broadcast on Victory. Visit EMIC.org for more information.
You see, we've got to honor those who have come before us. We've got to honor those with more wisdom than us. We've got to honor those who have lived life. We've got to honor those who have seen the fulfillment of the promises of God. When you're struggling to see God fulfill promises in your life, or when you're struggling to see the manifestation of the things you're believing for, let me encourage you, find somebody older than you, wiser than you, who has lived some life and has seen the promise of God come to pass. Ask them their testimony. Ask them how to read the word. Ask them how to understand those things. And put honor where honor is due, as Scripture says, and read what they have said with a new understanding. Read the words of the prophets with new understanding. Read the words of Paul in the New Testament with new understanding. Find somebody who gets it. If you don't get it, there is no excuse for you to keep not getting it. I need you. God needs you for the assignment he has for you to open that book. And when you don't understand, ask somebody who does. Those of you who have been in school, high school, college, Bible college, when you don't get something, what do? Raise your hand. There is no shame or condemnation in asking somebody to help you understand Scripture. But you've got to have a place of honor in your heart for those who have gone before us, for those who have lived more life than us. You've got to have a place and a posture of honor in your heart that says, hey, I see what you've been through, and I see how you've come out victorious. I see how God's promise has been fulfilled in your life, and how that's happened for you, I want it to happen for me. Take the time to do that. Take the opportunity with people who have lived this. And don't allow yourself to make excuses about what you're not getting because you're not going after it. I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing the promises of God fulfilled in my life. Well, chase them. They're yours. Cash the check. It doesn't hit your account until you take it to the bank. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, there are people that God has put in your life strategically to help you, young person, walk through this life. There's people that God has put there specifically for you. He's brought them into your life for you. They have a grace. They have an anointing for you. Don't leave it untapped, but walk with honor. The first step is honoring them and asking the questions. It takes humility and honor to ask somebody, hey, I don't get it. Can you help me? Hey, I'm struggling in this area. Hey, this is something that I believe God told me. This is something I see in Scripture for me. Help me. Help my unbelief. Help me build my faith. We cannot ignore what God has given us in people. Yes, our peers that go through life with us, but also our elders who have gone before and have lived some life and have been through some experiences. I believe that the experience that they've gone through is crucial for you to be able to get everything God has for you. But until you humble yourself and in honor ask somebody, hey, what do I do? You'll never get access to it.
Hey, welcome back to Home Group. Listen, that was Stephen Shelton. He is the pastor of The Bridge. And The Bridge is this age group that I have with me right now. I want to thank Captain Amos for being with us. Thank you for being part of the program tonight. If you have questions or comments, we want you to be part of this. This topic was your idea a few weeks back, and we have honored that. See what I did there? If you have any questions, you can text them at 682-302-1301. Facebook, just type it in. We'll have it right here on the iPad. Ask Home Group at govictory.com. Okay, my wife Michelle is with me, but we've added some guests now. And I really believe you are going to be blessed by this generation of young people and what God's doing in their lives. Let me start to my right, your left here, is Madison Bailey is with us. And Reed, her husband, is right here. That's why we're all sitting so close. In case you don't know, you know Gene Bailey. That's Gene Bailey's son and daughter-in-law. And then Kenneth Copeland Bible College is a phenomenal place. You agree, guys? Two Kenneth Copeland Bible College students. On the far end is Titus Smith there, and then Isaac Smith is right here next to me. Where are you guys from?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Which part? Michigan, you do this, you do that.
I've never done that.
I don't do it.
You don't do that?
No. Everyone else does, though, so it is a thing.
Okay, so that's just something we do, that if you're from Michigan, you don't do that. So they're from somewhere in Michigan.
Grand Rapids,
Michigan. Yeah. Thank you. We have been talking about, and I don't know if you heard when I was talking to Captain Amos or you got to see last week, we talked a lot about honor, and there was this underlying thing that your generation doesn't know anything about honor, and you don't really care so much about the Word of God or a move of God, and I don't know who came up with that idea, but that was a lot of comments. And so I thought, you know what? Let's bring, because I've seen just the opposite, let's bring your generation on and let you talk to it, let you speak to it. Who, Madison or Reed, jump in. You want to jump in?
Yeah, I think for me, and kind of what I've seen in my time in ministry is, and when I heard what you said, you know, my heart hurts for my generation because I know how much they want to be a part of a movement and a cause, and they can put so much emotion and power into the things they're focused on. But you're absolutely right. I think there's definitely a loss of honor in knowing how to submit to leadership. I think what I've seen is you've got the incredible like moves of God that I've seen, like my parents have gone through, where it was incredible teaching and discipline and the foundations of faith. Like, it's great. And then I see a lot of these new, like, up and coming, like, movements and ministries that are going on right now. And it's like riding a wave. It's like the Holy Spirit's moving, and that's important. Like, it's so important to chase after God. But I think an element that our generation is missing is that basic level of like submitting to authority.
Okay. And, so hey, did you guys grow up? Now, listen, Home Group works like this. Jump in. All right. Just jump in. So you guys grew up Word of Faith.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right.
For sure.
I grew up Jesus. So.
Okay. I just saw your dad in you. Just like because I'm on television with him every day, and it was like looking. Never mind.
If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father.
You've seen the Father. Good. That's all right. Awesome. But you grew up. Did you guys grow up what we call
Word of Faith?
Yeah. Word of Faith.
Yeah.
My mom.
I hear so many. Well, go ahead.
My mom always had BVOV. How do you say it? Yeah. Every single
Victory
day.
Channel. Now.
Victory Channel now. Yeah.
It's easier to say.
Yeah. Yeah. We always sing the theme song all the time.
So you hear a lot about, and you hear a lot of parents lament that their children. We raised them in the Word, and we raised them with Brother Copeland, and now they don't care anything about faith. They don't care anything about the Word. Agree, disagree with that? Have you seen that? How did you guys remain?
Well, I didn't for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Came back around. When I was in high school, like, I was known as a pastor's kid. So, like, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool with everyone. And they would all look at me like, no, we're not going to invite Titus to this. We're not going to invite him here because he's the good kid. So I'd purposely go out of the way to be bad so that they would want me to be around. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't come to the realization of this till like after that. That's what I was doing. But I did. And then when they finally started like wanting me there and then I started being invited to places and started living that life of partying and doing things I shouldn't be doing, God like, spoke to me one time when I was actually out on a party bus and like, I was drinking and doing stuff I shouldn't have been, and he just immediately, like, I, like, sobered up immediately, and I was just, like, came to, like, I realized, what am I doing? Mm. What is going on here? Uh-huh. And then the next day, I talked to my mom, I was like, Mom, I feel like God spoke to me last night. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to live for him. It's just, like, it was just like that for me.
Yeah. Like, I kind of have the same story. I went off and did my own thing all throughout high school, and my senior year, my mom sat me down, and she was just, like, telling me about how God has plans for me and how he like needs us, needs our family to like, to just live our lives for Christ. And that conversation, like it, for some reason it was different than all the other conversations we had. And because I seen my mom and because I seen how powerful her ministry is and what she does for the kingdom, how much honor I had for her, I was willing to at least try to change and start living my life for Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
Because what you're tying together in honor is that you honored your mom, and that honor with her led you to realize honor of God, and it all tied together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a lot of questions that have come in with the same theme, and I think we've started touching on it a little bit. And several of you have said this. Either the children or the parents don't want to have anything to do with the other. Okay, I've got one right here in front of me. Our son told us that we're no longer his family. So how do you inject an honorable situation into that? You guys have any thoughts? Do you know people your age group that have done that sort of thing?
Oh, man.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people that are like, you know, God spoke to me. I want to go start my own ministry. And that might be the case. But sometimes God will speak to you to submit under someone else's ministry mm-hmm. and to honor that person. And I think a lot of young people, they have a lot of the energy and the motivation to really chase after God. But kind of like what I was saying earlier, they're so caught up with riding the wave of where's God moving, they forget to actually plug in and like mm-hmm. get a deep root system into their local church.
So, Reed, there's a revival that's happening, right? There is a revival happening.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
In your generation.
And it's not going to look like the last one.
Okay, why won't it look like the last one?
That's a great question.
How do you mean it doesn't? And so it doesn't look like the last one.
Because
so I agree. I agree with this.
Yeah.
I've seen it, witnessed it.
Yeah.
There is a move.
Yeah. God always likes doing something new. I know that. And just as, you know, a few recent examples, like pointing to the Send, for example, it's incredible just the crowds that they're drawing. Even social media like TikTok, believe it or not. I've never seen so many Christians.
I just heard about it. I don't even know what it is. Somebody said, you do TikTok? And I said, my knees kind of do on cold mornings.
But you've been on TikTok before.
I have?
Yeah. One of our classmates.
Is that good?
It went viral.
Seriously?
No, I mean, yeah, she's had you in some binoculars, like looking. She made it, like, yeah. She said she told you about it.
But the funny thing with TikTok, I think we've all had those experiences where we see people on social media post a paragraph about how they feel about something, and we all just don't want to read it. And the cool thing about TikTok is it's just short clips. And I'll be scrolling, and I'll see someone preaching, and they'll go, wait, stop. Did you know Jesus loves you? He has a plan for your life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny to see that that's working. That's just one avenue. But it's happening in grocery stores.
Is it the way it's
shopping
packaged?
Centers, parking lots,
yes.
Everywhere.
I saw a TikTok where this girl was like, she said, with this whole like montage of like her life before Jesus, and it like showed her like drunk and like on the ground, like all this stuff just looked sad. And then she goes, after like Jesus came back into my life, and she was like super happy. It showed her at church, showed her with her church family, her friends that she made, just the whole journey from that life. I felt like I was looking in a mirror though, because that's like literally what happened to me. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. But it's just on TikTok, and it made me like want to like, wow. Yeah. You know, I already am on her page. You know, I'm already on the same side as her.
Apparently, I've been on it, and I don't even really know
what it is. Well, back to that question that you had at the beginning when you said that their son said they're not honoring his parents. Like he said, you know, they're not my parents anymore. I think they don't need to lose hope in that, because what he said with that TikTok is that they're rising from the ashes. They're rising from they've dealt with the worst possible treatment because of people around them or drinking and stuff like that. And they'll experience that. They'll feel that low and they'll realize they need Jesus. And that's the part where they'll rise up and realize they need to honor their parents and realize where they come from is great, and it's a good place to be.
And the Bible says that a wise person will welcome a rebuke and welcome correction. So if there's people listening and you feel like, man, I differ so much from where I am currently or even your family situation, I would just encourage you that like God is watching how you respect and honor the people that are around you now, because at the end of the day, it's all for Him, even if you disagree with who's over you.
Okay, so what is your generation? I've heard this before. Somebody, I forgot who it was now, called you the Harry Potter generation or whatever. You know what I mean? That you want to see the supernatural. You believe in the supernatural, but you want what's authentic or you want what's real. Or help me understand that. Help us understand that.
I think for me and my experience, you know, I grew up with my family, you know, moving around the states, being in ministry, and I had seen it, I had believed it. Of course, I believed in healings and signs and miracles, but I just didn't really see it modeled in front of me. And I had to kind of come to that point where I go, I believe all of these things, but I need to take that step of faith and really step out. First conference that I went to where you go out and actually, you know, love on people and evangelize, it was very, very fearful. And I really felt like, oh, I just need one more teaching. And that's kind of what I was raised up in, was amazing teaching. But at some point, everyone in their journey has to come to that spot where you go, I got to let go and let God and really take a risk. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to let go and let God?
The person in front of you at the grocery store. I have seen so many people cry and even ask, what church are you from? Just by blessing them with money at the grocery store, offering to pray for them, or, hey, you know, God really highlighted you to me. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Not trying to
recruit
them. So
you mean
you've
asked somebody at the grocery store?
I've had people break down and cry in front of me and go, I've been praying for this. Like, we need more people like you. And it really hurts my heart, because it's not about what church you're in. It's about being close to the Lord and knowing how to love people like He did. I mean, there was a story of in a Starbucks drive-through line, a person went through and bought the coffee for the person behind them. And by the time it got to the last person, this atheist got his coffee paid for and was wondering why they did it. At the end of the story, he ended up getting saved. Mm. He went to the church and asked the pastor, just because someone bought them a cup of coffee.
When I think of your generation, and I watch Stephen Shelton and The Bridge, and I watch 1440 here, I see this, and we've got, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Oh, no. Go ahead. 21.
When you get my age, you don't want to be asked, but you don't mind.
21.
24.
27.
21.
Okay, so we have a daughter that's 22, son that's 19, another one in high school. It seems like you guys like a cause. If there's a cause to support or something. Am I wrong in that? I mean,
I don't think you're wrong.
No,
no. When I can see that, if I can see someone's going somewhere with something and I believe
you want to get a hold,
I want to get a hold of
you. You want to be part of something bigger than you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
But and so that goes to some of the meetings you're talking about.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want encounters, miracles, angels showing up, all that cool stuff.
In that sense.
I want to see it. I've heard about it. I learned and I want to see it.
So you heard about it. Now you want to see it. Because, see, I've heard this, guys, a lot. We're just talking honestly. Mm-hmm. Your questions and comments added to this. Dad, Uncle Greg, you know, I was known as PG in California. PG, I still have kids from California. They're older now that will contact me. You guys talked about faith, talked about healing, and I still see the same people in the healing line every time. And I want what's real. And you would hear that. A lot from guys that are your age. Is that what you're looking for? What you just said?
Yeah, I think like kind of where I was at, you know, I had believed it, you know, I knew what the Bible said. I just knew there was more out there. I knew there was a level that I hadn't gotten to yet, something more that was out there than just church as I had known it. I think that's definitely a calling on our generation, even though they need to learn how to respect and honor.
So I heard a lot of people say last week that your generation is all about emotionalism. And us, faith people, my generation, we're not about emotionalism.
I can see that being
accurate. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's true?
I see that, today.
Now, this was an older person saying this, but they were talking about you.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's true.
Everything's on my emotion.
Yeah, all the worship nowadays is just all about feeling.
Yeah, exactly, how you feel.
Okay, so let me inform you that maybe this isn't new, that this actually is Book of Acts stuff that we just described right there, because the Greek tended to be that way, and the Jew tended to be Jesus said the Jew seeks a sign. He wants to see it. He wants to experience it like Thomas did. He wants to feel something. And it's still that way today.
Yeah.
If you'll go to a Night to Honor Israel, they'll say, I sense this spirit. They're sensing we know it in Hebrew as the Ruach. I'm going into Teacher Greg there. But it's still there. My generation is more I don't have to feel anything. I know the word's true. And your generation, we are the same body of Christ, but we're acting as the Greek and the Jew, still in the same, we're wanting the same things. We're just approaching it from the different side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that comes from the wisdom and the experience that we've had, whereas they're growing in that experience? It reminds me a lot of Samuel and Eli. So yeah. Samuel grew up in the temple. He understood the things of the temple, and Eli was the one, but he wanted to experience. And when God called him, that was his time. That was that moment of switching, but he had learned of those things, right? So he honored Eli, and maybe that's just the connection that we're sensing. Maybe, because you guys talk about the roots, and the roots that you have, they're very real. You were brought up that, but honor does connect us. It connects us to God, but he uses people in authority over us to do that connecting. Right?
It's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really good because, you know, when he heard him, he heard
Eli.
Eli. Mm-hmm. And thought it was God. I mean,
Thought it was Eli.
Didn't think it was God. I know that's probably happened to me where I knew God was speaking to me, but I heard Pastor George, or I heard Brother Copeland, or heard your mom or dad. You know.
Yep. Multiple occasions.
Okay. All right. We just hit a nerve here.
My mom was actually calling and texting me.
What's that?
My mom was actually calling and texting me.
So
she always knew whenever I was doing anything.
Yeah. You can never get away with anything.
I was at a club. My mom was like, Titus, I've just been praying for you. Is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, everything's fine. And then she was like, an hour later, I got in a car accident. And she was like praying for me I wasn't hurt or anything, but she was just like, it was because of her. Like, it's God, but I know she was praying for me. And like, that's the reason why.
So there's what you can do. Mama, pray. You've heard Brother Copeland say that. His mother
Yeah.
Prayed him. All right, we've got some questions. Thank you for your questions and all coming in. And I want to encourage you to please send them in if you're on Facebook. Listen, a lot of you are joining us. Let me do something else. There's the number how you can contact us, but I want to also make available, if we could, guys, the, and I'm calling an audible here, sorry, I apologize, for the prayer number. We do have licensed prayer ministers. As I read some of your questions here, there's a couple on here. You've asked me not to use your name. I appreciate that. I will not do that. They are, there's some serious things. This is real. Guys, this is real life and real ministry. We have trained ministers right now standing by that will pray for you. The number in the United States is right there on the screen, 877-281-6297. They will pray with you and agree with you. Maybe it's that son that you live in the same town and he hadn't spoken to you. He's no longer your son. You're not his family. It kind of reminds me of this prodigal story. Call the phone number. Let somebody agree with you. When people come into agreement is when things happen. Here's a question. Anybody wants to jump in on this, give your opinion on it, that would be great. We like to base opinions on the word, but let's do this. We have a 25-year-old son, and I won't give your name, who was a Marine. He has a hard time since he's been out of the Marines. He has rejected his faith and no contact with our family. Any advice? Any advice for somebody how to get a hold of a kid that has rejected their faith and doesn't want to have contact with the family? You guys obviously haven't done that, but
yeah, just pray that there's people with intercede for them. That's all you can really do. I can say that honestly, without my parents and my family praying for me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So just pray and know that the word of God won't return void.
There's a couple of prayers you learned in Bible school. I know you did because you had Pastor Dwayne's class, Ephesians chapter 1.
Yep. Oh, yep.
And Ephesians yep. chapter 3. Yeah, yep. Look at there. Yep, yep. You did it every single day.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day in class. Yep. And you can pray those prayers. Do you mind turning to that? Yeah. That you pray that the eyes of their understanding be opened or enlightened by the word. And then Jesus said to pray for laborers. To come across their path. Okay, here we go. Here's a comment that's come in. I think there is as much desire for a real discipleship and relationship as there is for signs and wonders. What do you think about that?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't realize until I was discipled being down here. I've been discipled by my teachers and by just people that God put in my life. I didn't realize how much I needed it until I was discipled.
Okay, and explain to me. How do you know that? Would you have rejected it if we just said, okay, this is discipling class and you are now going to report to?
I don't know how I would feel about that. I just being forced to be discipled like that is, I don't know. Something about being forced to do anything kind of makes people want to back off from it. But like just being discipled and trained and realizing that there's people that know more about God and more about just all of this than I do, it makes me want to learn from them. And seeing it work in their lives, like I see it down here. I see that the God in them is moving and that if I train and listen to what they're trying to tell me, that it's going to work for me.
Yeah, and to add on to that, it's not even all of that plus the fact that these people are so loving towards you. Right. All the time.
Yeah. Like, now that's a key thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like the main thing.
Because Jesus said that, didn't he, Madison? He said he prayed that we would demonstrate love.
Yeah.
For people to see, because love never
fails. And that's another thing with like just people in general. Like I've noticed, like when I started changing my life around, I worked at Costco back home, and I would just be so loving to everyone because I was so full of love and like joy because I was just starting to actually watch the like these videos, and I used to always think that reading the Bible would be boring, even though I believed in God. I was like, I remember my mom gave me the Mark Hankin scripture guide, and I was like looking at some of the stuff like, you know, like a specific like healing, prosperity, whatever, and I'm like, oh, this isn't the Bible. I was like, this scripture's in the Bible, so I literally grabbed a Bible to check and make sure like that's actually in there. And then I was like, wow, this is really cool. So then I started liking that, and I just started filling myself up, and I'd just be so full of joy and like excitement about what I was learning and growing. And then I'd go to work, and I'd be so excited, and I'd just be like so kind and loving to everyone, and because Jesus is in me, and he's just this, and everyone would look at me differently, and they'd be like, wow. Like every time my parents went in there, or anyone I knew went in there, and they'd say they knew me, they'd be like, oh my gosh, Titus is so kind. We love him. My parents still say whenever they go into Costco, they're always saying, oh, you miss Titus, how's Texas? And I was just like, if you love people, that you make a difference in their life. And then they, one only do you make a difference in life, they want to hear what your opinion is on something. Yeah. They want to talk to you. They're willing to listen. I talked to Jesus about them all the time. They all knew who I was and what I stood for. And they drew them. They're drawn to Jesus. They're drawn to love. You just have to love them.
Yeah. I'm reminded of like Abraham. Abraham's the father of our faith. Abraham was offered, God did, I pay attention to details, okay? When God came to Abraham, he didn't say, now listen, you grew up an idol maker, worshiper guy. That's wrong. I want you to stop that. And sometimes I think maybe with our generation guys, this is where we miss it, especially with our kids.
That's good.
Now listen, you need to stop this and start doing this. I want you to quit doing that, and right? God introduced himself to Abraham with a promise. And that promise created a relationship. And that relationship then went to an everlasting covenant that you and I walk in today. And I think that's exactly maybe what you're talking about, is just letting that promise or that relationship that you have come out to other people.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's all about...
That's great. Yeah. let's see. There's some other things here. How do you guys, who's this? Amanda, here we go. How do you guys walk in faith? What does that mean to you?
You want to take that one?
Take it.
Yeah. I think walking in faith looks like believing what's not seen in front of you, of course. And so in my life, I've looked at that and I've said, hey, you know, our finances are not a certain way, but you know what? I'm going to believe and like see that number, and I'm going to receive that. And so I think even in like with friendships and stuff like that, you know, if you're having an ugly friendship, I think even just walking by faith that, hey, this is going to change. I'm just going to love them the way that they are. But faith also works by love. So you can't have faith without love. So if I'm trying to, you know, yeah.
Do you guys sense, do you sense sometimes that my generation doesn't approach you in love? I mean, honest.
Not really. Because like you said, because we're talking about honor day, I feel like if you're just kind to someone, like if you respect them and honor them, they usually always treat you the same way. Like I think the reason why they look down on our generation is because we're so quick to be disrespectful and like think that we know everything and we'll be prideful or like we don't need you type of attitude. And that like is probably hurting to them because they're like, I have so much I could actually give you if you were treat me like I was worth it.
It's not fair to you guys in the church, your generation in the church, because we all are believers, right? So it's not fair to lump you guys in with what we think of your generation in the world. That's very different. And there's very strong viewpoints that are upcoming. And we kind of discussed this a little bit earlier, right? Where they have different views. And so maybe it's just the world versus the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not so much generationally, other than we can honor each other, but reaching the ones in the world that are of a different generation. For us to reach that generation, what does that look like? How can we help them? How can we mentor them into the Word of God, into believing? And that's kind of maybe in my position, I want to know, what's the key that I need to reach that generation?
All right, Reed's doing that. He's
got something. Building them up in their identity in Christ.
Okay, wait a second. Let's do it again. Go slow.
Building up for parents, building up your kids' identity in Christ,
okay.
Showing them what it means to be a son or a daughter. Because if you understand sonship in Christ and you're spending that time alone in the secret place with the Lord, a lot of what we're talking about will flow naturally. Once you know who you are and that identity is secured, it's really easy to take that step to, you know, pray for someone out in public or bless somebody in public or just do that outward expression. But for parents, like sometimes I might know I'm in the wrong and I don't want to hear it, or I might have a different viewpoint. But what gets past all of that is the testimony of the person talking to me and identity, building me up and prophesying over me. I think prophecy is key. Parents prophesy over your kids.
That's really good.
Parents prophesy. So how do I do that? I'm waiting for... Explain what that means, because am I waiting for a prophetic? Some people don't even know what prophecy is or how to prophesy.
Yeah, I think some of it.
What's an example of prophesying over you if you're my son?
Yeah. If I'm your son? Yeah. Dad? I think from a really general perspective, I would say just speaking out the things that you see in them, the things that you see coming in their future or the strengths that they have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a lot more beneficial to hear what I'm good at rather than what I'm not good at. Mm-hmm. I know I might not be doing well in one class, yep. but I hear that you're proud of me in this class mm-hmm. and you're speaking out the gifts that God's put in me and I'm seeing that from you. I'll fall under that authority a lot easier. I think be more open to hearing advice and stuff like that.
Yeah, encouragement is definitely key. Because you remember the correction, you hold on to the correction, but if there's encouragement involved after the fact, or even in presenting a corrective like subject, then I think that's really key.
I used to work with kids, and they'd always tell us like, if you're like, when you're correcting them, you make sure you say something kind and like uplifting to them while you're telling them, hey, like don't do that to your friend because you could hurt them really bad and you don't want to do that to your friend because you guys are friends and you like want to have fun. And then they'll be like, no, I don't want to. Yeah. And then they'll go have fun and might do it again because they're kids. But like you don't make them feel like they're terrible people. Yeah. Because that's just going to bring them down and sad.
I had a coach and I was never a great basketball player. I could shoot free throws. That's about all I could do. And throw the ball to somebody else. That's pretty much what they're doing. But I remember one time, in pressure moment, the coach said, he did not say, make sure you hit this free throw. Make sure you bend your knees. Make sure you follow through. Mm-hmm. He said, after Greg makes the first free throw, we're going to do this. And then when he hits the second one, we're going to do this. I mean, what's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
He's prophesying.
Literally.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
He's saying, this is what I know is going to happen, and here's what we're going to do. He never gave us in our mind anything other than Greg's going to make the free throws, and then we're going to go into this diamond formation, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't say, now if this bozo misses it, we want to do this. He spoke what he wanted to say. That's faith, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there's people that are listening that are going, man, they're just young. This young generation is just so emotional, so led by feelings.
Okay.
And I think my response to that would be, you got to understand the times we're living in.
Okay.
And the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So if you don't know about that prophecy, look that up.
That's a prophecy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never mind. Go on. Yeah,
that's a whole other 10.
Yeah, you lost where you were.
Yeah, I lost it. So in my generation, for those people that are going, man, they're just so emotional. So many feelings, you know. My response would be, they're a generation of fire starters because the people in our generation, they're flag carriers.
Okay, fire starters and flag carriers.
So they're all about a movement. They're all about like running after the cause. Once they pick up the flag of Jesus, you're going to see stuff out of this generation that we've never seen before.
I do agree with that.
Yeah. Mm.
Wholeheartedly.
And it's different. Like I was saying earlier.
King David said that very thing to his brothers when he went out there to bring him food. And he says, is there not a cause in Israel? So it's kind of a King David generation, isn't it? Mm. If that's the case, if you guys are the flag bearers and the fire starters, and you're looking at some of them right here. And I believe that you've been encouraged. You are encouraged in what you've seen. I've got a question right here. Here's a Rowena is a high school teacher. Your question and comment. How do I teach? You guys aren't far from high school. How do I teach high school age students to honor God and their teacher, their family, each other? How do I stir up a desire in them? Well, I think you have more impact and influence. You work in a high school. You have more influence in them than you realize you do. You guys have a teacher that influenced you?
Yeah, I had teachers that influenced me. Usually it's the teachers that like believe in me and like actually they see.
Okay, what do you mean by believe in you?
They try to help me and they tell me that I see you do good in this and that if you just do this, I can see. They basically prophesy. They say like you're going to do good in this if you do this. They genuinely try to help me get from where I'm at to where I need to be. And they encourage me and tell me that versus teachers that would be like, you're just doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And I didn't ever respond.
Because you tune that out, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, I'm just waiting for you to be done talking so I can leave. And that's the end of it. The people that believe in me and try to like help me, those are the people that I'm going to like listen to and I'm going to want to do good for them.
It's almost the same answer that you gave about encouraging as parents encourage. So you're talking about old elders. You're talking about those that pour into your life.
Yeah.
How you'll respond to them. And the key of that is love and building right. up their identity and prophesying into their life. I mean, you guys are giving some really rich things here
it's
for us.
Far it's far deeper than people deeper. Would give them credit for, isn't it?
Oh, it is. But it helps me. And I think there's a connection in this
yeah.
where we can now, I can speak into your life as you receive what God's giving.
And the reason I wanted to bring Captain Amos back in tonight, one, you guys wanted to hear more from Captain Amos. With the Captain Amos show right here on the net, you guys wanted to hear more from Captain Amos is because he made that bridge gap. He talked about not just your generation has to honor us, but as a commanding officer, he had to honor them.
Yes.
As well. And that
it is a bridge.
It's a reciprocal.
It is.
Jesus honored the Father by honoring us and honoring the Father by doing his will. So it's a reciprocal thing. And I have learned, I want to thank each of you. I've learned something tonight that I think will make me a better father.
Or not just, and praying for this generation and connecting for the move of God that's going to happen in the earth. I'm excited.
And there is a move that's happening.
That are happening.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There is a move. You've seen it. I've watched it with you guys. There is a generation. We were at a steakhouse, and a girl that's a student where you're at, man, she was working on me, getting me saved. She was getting me saved.
It was awesome.
I told her I was a pastor, and it didn't work. She still kept going. She was wanting to pray for me here.
She did. It was great.
Or something else. And so, listen, I want to tell you something about this weekend besides Sunday morning here at Eagle Mountain Church. Saturday afternoon, there's a very special virtual KCBC tour I want you to be part of. It's at 2:00. You can sign on. I don't know what the information is, guys. I don't see it on the screen there, but we'll get it to you. KC Bible College. Okay. All right. Here we go. I want to thank you once again for being part of this. Our training in honoring those in authority in any area of life is never complete. I love that. You must honor the office, even if you don't agree with the person in the office, in order to remain in unity. Unity is the key, because strife brings confusion. Listen to this now, and every evil work. At the end of the day, it's all for Him. It's all for Jesus. Everything you do is to honor Him. Whether or not you agree with those in authority over you or not, do everything as unto the Lord. At the end of the day, know it's all for Him. Once you know who you are in Christ, you'll receive honor. Then you're able to show honor. I want to thank you guys for being part of this. Aren't you encouraged by what you've seen? I think the church is in good hands. All right, don't forget, stay connected for Sunday morning. We're live on the tarmac. Know this, God loves you.
Yes.
We love you. And Jesus is Lord. See you.